more than a woman to me.
But the absolute belle of the crazy balls was a man named Matt Baker, who opened his speech like this.
That's the wind. That's the wind of time. That's the wind of history.
Okay. Okay, Blob Marley. Pretty sure that's the wind of you tried to whistle and then realized you couldn't and pretended you were imitating the wind. You guys know the Andy Griffith theme song? That's the wind blowing through the bones of Floyd the Barber.
A face in the crowd.
Once the wind died down, Matt's speech got pretty intense.
Your children and your children's children will be subjugated. They will be asked, how many vaccines have you had? Have you been a good little Nazi? Hail Fauci! Hail Fauci! Hail Fauci! Hail Fauci!
Okay, a little advice. I can see you're passionate. I can see this is important to you, but I just want to remind you of the phrase, you catch more flies with honey than you do with crystal meth. And the point is, they tilted the country and all the nuts rolled to California, right? I'm so worried for our country.
Polls have shown that a sizable portion of Americans who remain unvaccinated might be persuaded to get the shot if the FDA granted it full approval. So far, the vaccines have been distributed under what's known as an emergency use authorization. And a poll earlier this month found that 3 in 10 of the unvaccinated report that they would be more likely to get vaccinated if the FDA moved vaccines from emergency use to full approval. More than half of the unvaccinated are also unsure what the status of FDA approval is. Approval also offers an opportunity to clear up substantial public confusion. And look, I'll admit, it can be confusing to follow. We all wish the FDA and the CDC could be more like the SFC, which is an organization where people speak clearly. Trying to make sense of all the announcements and updates and guidelines from the FDA and the CDC can make you feel like an out-of-towner reading one of those signs about service changes on the subway. Due to service improvements, B and D trains will be running on the F and C lines from DeKalb to 15th Street and on the Z and G lines from Hoyt Schimmerhorn to Yakety Sax from midnight to 3 a.m. Thursday through Sunday. Personally, I did not care what kind of authorization the vaccine had. The second they said I was eligible, I lined up outside Javits like I was trying to get tickets to SNL the week BTS was on. The point is, experts have predicted that full FDA approval of the vaccines could help persuade some of the unvaccinated to get their shots. Well, this morning, the FDA finally granted that full approval to Pfizer's jab, which is huge news and a big boost to the vaccination campaign. And not only does it now have full approval, it can even be marketed under a new name.
Breaking news. The FDA has granted full approval to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. This is a key step in getting more Americans vaccinated. It comes more than 9 months after the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine was administered in this country. The decision could motivate millions of Americans who still have not received a vaccine to finally get the shot. The data is behind it. It saves lives. It keeps people out of the hospital.
We are now learning that that Pfizer vaccine for COVID will be marketed under a new name. It will be called Comirnaty. Comirnaty is the new name that will be marketed for the Pfizer COVID vaccine.
This is amazing news that will hopefully convince more people to get vaccinated, and we should all be thrilled. But also huge news that I guess we finally ran out of pharmaceutical names. What's up with Comirnaty? Did the approval catch Pfizer so off guard that they yelled out a name before they were ready? Comirnaty! Also, it already had a great name, Pfizer vaccine. I mean, I understand using a complicated name like Viberzi or Zyfaxin for IBS drugs so you don't have to ask your doctor about, diarrhea be gone, although it all goes out the window when they have to have mascots that are literally intestines. You know what would be a good mascot for a vaccine drug? A wallet with a vaccine card sticking out of it because they don't fit. Now, you might be wondering how they came up with this name. Apparently, the name is coined from COVID-19 immunity and then embeds the mRNA in the middle. which is the platform technology, and as a whole, the name is meant to evoke the word community.
So it actually, like, makes sense, dude.
God, it's like a riddle Tom Hanks would have to solve in the Da Vinci Code to find out the location of the Holy Grail. It's in Toledo! Wait, oh, I don't think we did this right. By the way, it is possible to have a much better name. You know what Moderna's vaccine is called? Spikevax. Hell yeah. It sounds like a vaccine that protects you from COVID and gives you a mohawk, or one of those sketchy boner pills they have at the bodega. Spikevax sounds like the drugs teens are using in a YA sci-fi series called, I don't know, the Nestworld Chronicles. The point is, this is huge news, and it will hopefully be super helpful in persuading more people to take the vaccine. Of course, another thing that might be helpful would be getting Donald Trump, the leader of the Republican Party, to tell his supporters to get it, given that just 55% of Republicans say they're already vaccinated for COVID-19. For months, friends and allies of Trump have been desperately trying to persuade him to promote the COVID vaccine to his supporters. And promotion is the one thing he should be good at. He is a salesman and a marketer, and it's not like he needs full FDA approval to push a product. Let's not forget, Trump used to sell health products like scam vitamins he marketed through something called the Trump Network. Among other claims, the Trump Network asserted it could use a urine test to recommend customized nutritional supplements. The business mogul encouraged people to take an expensive urine test, which would then be used to personally tailor a pricey monthly concoction of vitamins. And if there's anyone you can trust to tailor something to your specification, it's old bag suit here. I do like the idea that a bunch of people sent Trump their urine in the mail and he had to figure out what to do with it, because you know Trump wouldn't just throw it away. He'd come up with the dumbest and most illegal solution to make money.
Let's sell it to teens to use before they take drug tests. We can give it a catchy name like Comernity.
Trump had no qualms at all about pushing sketchy vitamins, and yet for months he resisted attempts by friends and allies to convince him to promote a life-saving vaccine to his supporters. According to four people who independently spoken to Trump about a potential pro-vaccine campaign, the former president has shown little interest in tying his name to broader efforts to get people inoculated. Senator Lindsey Graham, a top Trump ally on Capitol Hill, told the Associated Press that he encouraged Trump to speak up and to be aggressive and say, take the vaccine. Oh, Lindsey, haven't you learned by now? It only goes one way. Trump doesn't listen to you. You take orders from him. Trump's like the big city businessman in a Tennessee Williams play who moves into town to buy up all the land, and Graham's the little boy who does one-off jobs for him, hoping Trump will toss him a nickel. Meemaw, Mr. Trump said he'd give me a job in New York City if I helped him steal the oil lease from the Hendersons. No, you can't come with me, Meemaw. I'm gonna make a name for myself, and I don't want you bumming everybody out with your carpal tunnel sleeve. That's not to say Trump doesn't listen to anyone. He just listens to the last person who spoke to him. Like when Graham told Trump to promote the vaccine, I'm sure Trump agreed, and then he probably turned around and took a phone call from some anti-vax nutjob like Mike Lindell, a Trump friend and ally who was so virulently anti-vaccine, he actually got muted at the Conservative Political Action Conference earlier this year.
In Israel right now, from the prime minister on down, we don't know what happened, but obviously congratulated Biden. But after that, we got a little suspect. Well, they're right now with the vaccine over there, they're making the whole country take it, so you can't go in shopping malls, you won't be able to get a job. And if this happens, it's the start for the world, the worst thing that could happen to this world. What do you care what someone else does? If that person wants to come to a mall and they don't want to get vaccine, this is our bodies. This is Mark of the Beast stuff, and I don't care. I'll just put it right out there. This is Revelation. I mean, if you're going to make them do that over in Israel, and why do you think they went to Israel first? What? You know, that's kind of strange. This is weird, guys. It actually started, the list started in Spain. It started in Spain, where Spain started putting people on this new world list. They're telling you wear a double mask and do all this other stuff. Let me tell you, that's not...
I mean, I bet he was mad they cut his mic, but he also had to be mad with the picture they put up next to him while he's talking. Don't put up the picture of me hugging the pillow like it's my lover. Not when I'm talking science. I mean, they cut off his mic, but I feel like it's also possible his mouth just never stops moving even when he's done talking. If he really wanted to scare people off the vaccine, he should just tell people he got it. Oh, wow, you took the vaccine and now you're like this? Well, thank you for the heads up. And even Trump himself, when he's taking credit for the vaccine, can't help but use it as an occasion to criticize Biden, as he did last week on Fox Business.
I'm very proud of the vaccine. I've taken the vaccine. I'm very, very proud of it. At the same time, some people don't want to take it. And, you know, when I was president, you didn't have this problem with people not wanting to take it. They don't take it because they don't trust Biden, and they don't trust the Biden administration.
people don't trust Biden. I mean, say what you will about the guy, but he's way more trustworthy than you, according to both polls and common sense. If you ask Trump about vaccines, he'd end up rambling about Hillary's emails or windmills killing birds. But with Biden, you know he's not holding anything back because he immediately blurts it out. His aides must watch him talk to reporters the same way you watch your grandpa talk to your coworkers at your wedding. What was he saying to you guys? Well, we just asked him if he was proud of you, and then he told us about the time you peed your pants in Little League. So for months, Trump routinely rejected pleas to promote the vaccine, and even when he did talk about it, he used it as an opportunity to criticize Biden. He associates himself with anti-vaxxers and outlets that traffic in vaccine conspiracy theories and lies. That's the political movement he and his supporters in the GOP and in right-wing media have cultivated. So it should come as no surprise that when Trump told his supporters at a rally over the weekend that they should get the vaccine, well, they did not react well to it.
I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. Bree, you got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms. But I happen to take the vaccine. If it doesn't work, you'll be the first to know, okay? I'll call up Alabama and say, hey, you know what? But it is working.
And that really illustrates the core problem of the Trump movement. Yes, his followers listen to him, but he also listens to them. In fact, he doesn't just listen to them. He's desperate for their approval and terrified of pissing them off. Take the vaccine. Boo! You didn't let me finish. Take it to the trash and throw it away. Yay!
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Con el Viz Castelo. Waterfall, rated R. my fellow bar crawl trolley lickers. I know you rely on me to deliver breaking news to you, but this time, it's the news that's breaking me. On this anointed day wherein our blessed Lord and Savior Donald Cleveland Indians Trump was to be restored to his rightful place as President Immortalis of the United States, nothing happened. As we speak, Biden's army of soulless, silent deuces haunt the White House halls, reversing President Trump's most awesomely misspelled executive orders and erasing his legacy of only announcing legislation that triggers a spontaneous nationwide candlelight vigil. But even worse, it's like everything I was told about the reinstatement by the guy my dad used to hire to sue all his girlfriends was a lie.
Tyler, where are you? Tyler, come back.
I'm not prepared to live in a world where the thought police demand I believe that the things right in front of my eyes are real. I wish I'd never believed in Donald Trump at all.
Stop, Tyler. It's me, Rush Limbaugh, your guardian angel.
But where are your wings?
I sold them for pills. You got your wish. You never believed in Donald Trump.
Wait. I can hear out of my left ear. That's the ear that I stuffed a Donald Trump figurine into so that he could live in my head full time.
You're not the co-host of Hot Take. You're the co-host of Beta News with Joy Reid and Tyler Tiny Dick Templeton. You never missed your daughter's high school graduation to throw an Adidas bag over Gretchen Whitmer's head. You never met your wife while getting frog marched out of the Yankees' box seats. You even got vaccinated.
No! No! I want to go back! Get me back to my co-hosts! Help me, Rush, please! I want to be unvaccinated again! I want to be unvaccinated again! Wait! I have COVID? I have COVID! I'm unvaccinated! Merry reinstatement! Yay! Hello, Washington, D.C. Merry reinstatement, Comet Ping Pong! Merry reinstatement, water supply spiked with chemicals that make me have homoerotic thoughts! Merry reinstatement, you wonderful old Holocaust museum! Smartwood! Kylie! Tori! You're not Joy Reid! It's a reinstatement miracle! I'm so happy! Blessed day! Joy to the world!
Teacher says whenever a conservative accidentally discharges their firearm into their thigh, Donald Trump is reinstated.
They taught you that at school? Sick! Merry reinstatement, everyone! Except Joe Biden! F*** you!
Merry reinstatement, everyone!
So yes, I made a very powerful recommendation to the California Parole Board. I said, Sirhan, Sirhan. The guy's got two sirs in his name. I only get called sir once, okay? You don't get called sir at all. But I get called sir many times. It's a sign of great respect. And I said, this guy's in prison. For what? Peacefully protesting a Democrat. You know, we saw it on January 6th, the whole hoax, and it turns out Sirhan was just peacefully protesting, and you see what they do to people who peacefully protest Democrats? They throw them into jail on trumped-up charges. I said, I was like, you know, they're so dramatic, the left. They said it was like murder, and it's like, what the hell? What are you talking? It's called peaceful protest, okay, and we're going to see a lot more of it. Possibly next month when I get reinstated for the 7th time. But when I talked to Sirhan, he said, thank you, sir. And I said, oh, that's not, you called me sir too. So we were going back and forth. It was almost like, who's on first? I was like, sir? No, Sirhan. And then I told him he should call me Sir Don. So from here on out, in honor of a great person, okay, who we hope, Kim Gargoyle's former husband maybe does the right thing and lets him out, but probably not. He's probably going to be very weak. But I can tell you, if Larry Elder gets in there, he will be very strong for Sirhan. So I endorse Sirhan Sirhan for release, okay? The radical left. He's like a political prisoner, okay? And he should be let out. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to free Sirhan Sirhan, Sirdan Sirdan Trump. Yeah, that's what you have to call me from now on. So good luck, Sirhan, and we'll see what happens.
Friends, I told you that my partner would be here, and here he is. Didn't you expect him, did you? Now, he always shapes up. Now, why not let the folks themselves ask for something that they'd like to hear?
All right, what would they like to hear?
Something different. Now, okay. Is there anything special that you would like to hear us do?
Baseball.
Oh, no. Wait a minute, friends. You don't want to hear that, do you?
Yeah, we got the props for you here.
Well, you came prepared, didn't you?
All set, huh? Well, this is a must. I guess it's a must. We've got to do it. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let me see. That looks all right.
Okay, all right.
Now, we'll pretend. We'll just pretend. All right, I'll take it easy with that. We'll just pretend that we're organizing a baseball team here at the retired actor's home. And I am the manager. Now,
you're going to be the manager of the retired actor's baseball team?
Yes.
I would like to join the retired actor's baseball team.
Oh, you would?
And I would like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so if I want to play with them, I know them, and I meet them on the street or in the home here, I can say hello to them.
Oh, sure. But you know, they give baseball players nowadays very peculiar names.
I know, a lot of funny names.
You know, like Sticky names. Fields.
Sticky Fields.
Goofy Dan.
Boopy Barber.
Booby Barber.
I know all of them.
Well, let's see. Now, we have on our team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out, the guy's name. That's what I want to find out, the guy's name.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Now, Abby, you going to be the manager of the baseball team?
Yes.
You know the guy's names?
Well, I should.
Well, now you tell me the guy's names on the baseball team.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You ain't saying nothing to me yet. Go ahead and tell me.
I'm telling him.
You ain't said nothing yet. Go ahead and tell me.
Who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
You know the guy's names on the baseball team?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the guy's name.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
Now, wait a minute.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's his name.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
That's it. That's his name.
Well, you ain't said nothing. I ain't asked you nothing.
You did.
You know the guy's name on first base?
Sure.
Well, tell me the guy's name on first base.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who is on first, Lou?
What are you asking me for?
Now, don't get excited. I'm saying who...
I'm asking you a simple question. Who's on first?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who? Yes. I'm asking you, what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no. What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Don't mix up my...
I'm not mixing up anybody. Now, what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking...
Whoa. How did I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
I mentioned his name?
Yes.
I don't know anybody's name on the team. How could I mention a guy's name?
You did. You just mentioned it.
All right. What's the guy's name on third base?
No, what's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on first.
See what I mean? I didn't even mention a guy's name on third base.
Yes, you did.
All right, then. Who's playing third base?
No, who's on first?
I'm not asking you what's on first.
What's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know. He's third base. I don't know anybody on a baseball team.
You do. You mention their names.
I do?
Sure.
You got an outfield?
Well, naturally.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Well, go ahead. Tell me.
Tell you what?
The left fielder's name.
Why?
Because I want to know. Because.
Oh, he's center field. You know these players as well.
Who's in center field?
No, who's on first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base. Do you know the guy's names on the team?
Look, Louie, you don't seem to understand. See, I have a first baseman.
I know you got a first. I ask you, what's the first baseman's name?
No, what's the second baseman's name?
I'm going to start asking you, sir. I ask you, what's the first baseman's name?
What's the second baseman?
I don't even get past the first. All right, who's on second?
Who's on first?
What base do you want to talk about?
You talk about anyone you want to talk about.
All right, now who's on first?
Right.
Okay.
No.
All right, you got a first baseman.
Yes.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. Every dollar of it.
Who gets it?
He does. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. Why not, Lou? He's earned it.
Who did?
Yes.
Look, will you pay off the first baseman every month? You get a receipt from the guy?
Sure.
How does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
Well, that's how he signs it.
That's how who signs it?
Yes.
Well, go ahead, tell me.
That's it.
Who? Look, you go to first baseman.
Yes.
And you say to him, here's your money, sign the receipt. How does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
That's how he signs it.
That's how who signs it?
Yes.
Sure. You gotta get a receipt from the guy, don't you?
Get one, Lou.
How does the guy on first base sign his name?
Who?
The guy on first.
That's how he signs it.
I'm asking, when you give the guy the money, what's the guy's name that you give the money to?
Now, wait a minute. What signs his own?
Who signs his own?
No, who signs his?
Name on first, you get
what
the...
is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
The fielder's name, the center field. I don't know if you got a pitcher on the team.
Well, this would be a fine team without a pitcher.
It's a fine team with the pitcher's name.
Tomorrow. I can't change that name.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you.
Go ahead. Tell me the pitcher's name.
Tomorrow.
Why not tell me today?
I'm telling you.
Then tell me the pitcher's name.
Tomorrow.
All right, what time tomorrow you tell me the pitcher's name?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you going to tell me who's pitching?
Who is not pitching?
I'll break you around, you see, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base. You got a catcher?
Certainly you've got a catcher on a baseball team.
Catcher's name?
Today.
Today. Tomorrow's pitching, today's catcher.
Now you've got it.
Now I got it. All I got, we got a couple of days on a team, that's all.
I can't help that, Lou. I don't
You know, I'm a pretty good catcher myself.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah, now I get behind the plate and I'm going to do some fancy catching, and tomorrow's pitching on my team, right?
Yeah.
Now tomorrow he winds up the ball and I'm behind the plate and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yeah.
Now the heavy hitter gets up and he's ready to hit the ball and tomorrow's going to throw the ball and I'm the catcher. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to try, tomorrow throws the ball, the guy up bunts the ball. Now, when he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about!
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball at first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Sure. Look, the guy is running at first base, yeah. Simon. I want to throw the guy out.
So?
So I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Throw it to who?
Naturally.
And who's got it?
Naturally.
Huh. So I pick up the ball and I throw it to Natural.
No. You throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
That's it. Now you're
sure, same thing. Right. I pick up the ball, so I throw it to Natural.
You don't.
I throw it to who?
Natural.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not saying that.
I said I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
You ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally. Same as you.
Say it that way.
I throw the ball to Natural.
You don't. You throw it to who?
Now who's got it? Naturally. That's what I said.
Right.
Whoever it is, better get it.
He'll
that's all
get
I
it.
Can
don't
tell
worry
you.
About who. Who'll get it?
Yes. He better get it.
All right.
Now, I throw the ball to whoever it is, drops the ball so the guy runs a second. Who picks up the ball and throws the what? What throws the, I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Could be.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn. I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I mean,
the Wyndham Farmers Market is held every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in front of Wyndham Local at 5410 Route 23 in Wyndham. You can find out all kinds of information about the Wyndham Farmers Market on the WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org, where all sorts of local events are listed. And you can even list your own if you go to wgxc.org and click on Add an Event. You'll be read on the radio, just like the Wyndham Farmers Market, which is held every Saturday through October 9th in front of Wyndham Local with meats, greens, honey, vegetables, and more. That's the Wyndham Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday on Route 23 in Wyndham.
Thank you.
is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Hi, this is Bill from Bristol, PA. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
The Cairo Historical Society was established in 2009. Our mission is to collect, study, interpret, and preserve the history of the town of Cairo, New York, for the educational and cultural enrichment of present and future generations. We love to bring history alive through our programming, such as our Hometown Heroes banner program, our State of the Union dinners, our Victorian teas. Each teach history while having fun. Members receive absolutely free our quarterly journal, the Cairo Herald, which is jam-packed with historical articles, pictures, and society news. Everyone, however, can access the Cairo Historical Society's Facebook page, which is a treasure trove of Cairo history and memories. It's easy to become part of our historical family. Call Sylvia at 518-821-3852 or email the Cairo Historical Society at cairohistsociety@yahoo.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Alana Medlock of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
You know, I was listening to the radio and I heard this thing.
90.7 FM, listener aided and abetted radio.
From Kabul to the Rio Grande, the U.S. creates refugee crises. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The United States has long branded itself as a safe haven for refugees fleeing war and persecution abroad. The current U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan is actually a testament to that, with at least 95,000 people evacuated by the U.S. military since mid-August. Despite this remarkable airlift, the Biden administration is being relentlessly criticized. A similar exodus from the threat of violence, femicide, and repression is happening alongside the Afghan withdrawal. The flight of asylum seekers from Central America and Mexico making the perilous journey to the U.S.-Mexico border, where they're met with draconian U.S. immigration policies that consign them to remain in Mexico. Much like Afghan civilians caught in the crossfire of that 20-year war, these migrants live in constant danger in squalid makeshift refugee camps in Mexican border cities, waiting for a chance at asylum in the United States. If there's any chaos as U.S.-aligned Afghans scramble to flee their war-torn nation, blame lies primarily with the previous administration and President Trump's right-hand man, his racist, xenophobic advisor, Stephen Miller. Miller's anti-immigrant fervor was driven early on by listening to right-wing radio host Larry Elder, who's now the leading candidate to replace California Governor Gavin Newsom in a recall election. Olivia Troy, who is an aide to Vice President Mike Pence, tweeted recently, "There were cabinet meetings about this during the Trump administration where Stephen Miller would peddle his racist hysteria about Iraq and Afghanistan. He and his enablers across government would undermine anyone who worked on solving the SIV, special immigrant visa issue, by devastating the system at DHS and state. Trump had 4 years while putting this plan in place to evacuate these Afghan allies who were the lifelines for many of us who spent time in Afghanistan. They'd been waiting a long time. The process slowed to a trickle for reviews or other priorities, then came to a halt," she tweeted. Miller also engineered the Migrant Protection Protocols, or MPP, better known as the Remain in Mexico policy. Human Rights First recently issued a report, Delivered to Danger, that documented, quote, at least 1,544 publicly reported cases of murder, rape, torture, kidnapping, and other violent assaults against asylum seekers and migrants forced to return to Mexico by the Trump administration, unquote. A 97-page appendix accompanies the report, listing the crimes with chilling detail. On Inauguration Day, President Biden issued several executive orders, including one revoking the anti-immigrant executive order Trump issued during his first week in office in 2017. The Department of Homeland Security immediately suspended enrolling migrants in the MPP program. In response, the states of Texas and Missouri sued the Biden administration. And on August 13th, Judge Matthew Kaczmarek, a Trump appointee to the U.S. Court for the Northern District of Texas, ruled that the White House must immediately re-implement the Remain in Mexico policy. The Justice Department appealed, and within 2 weeks, a three-judge appeals court panel affirmed the lower court's decision. Two of those three appeals court judges were Trump appointees. Andrew Oldham, who was just 39 when confirmed to his lifetime appointment in 2018, and Corey Wilson, who's now 51 years old. Both are fierce right-wing ideologues. A request for a stay pending further litigation was quickly rejected by the Supreme Court by 6-3. While the Biden administration fights to shut down MPP against a federal judiciary packed with Trump appointees, it still uses Title 42, first deployed by Trump, allowing deportations and immigration bans in times of public health emergencies. Trump's CDC issued the Title 42 order in March 2020 as the pandemic swept the globe. Biden renewed it on August 2nd. The U.S. government reported a record 210,000 migrant apprehensions along the southern border in July. Many of these people hail from the so-called Northern Triangle countries of El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, where widespread inequality, systemic corruption, food insecurity, gang violence, and now the climate crisis are forcing people from their homes. These problems have long been exacerbated by U.S. military, economic, and political interventions in the region. The United States engaged in dirty wars in Central America and has supported coups against democratically elected governments there, from overthrowing the government of President Jacobo Arbenz in Guatemala in 1954 to actively supporting the coup against President Manuel Zelaya in Honduras in 2009. Likewise, the U.S. armed and supported the Afghan Mujahideen in their fight against the Soviet Union. Many of those armed Mujahideen then aimed their American weapons at the U.S. This led to the disastrous two-decades-long U.S. Forever War, with tens of thousands killed and millions displaced. The United States has a responsibility to provide a safe haven for refugees from Afghanistan, Latin America, or elsewhere, and to cease interventions that fuel these crises and displace so many. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, isolated showers after 9 a.m. It will be partly sunny with the temperature high near 77 degrees. There will be a slight chance of showers before 2 a.m. on Saturday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 64 degrees. And on Sunday, scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 80 degrees. And more scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m. on Sunday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 66 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Load up my guns and bring your friends. It's fun to lose and to pretend. She's overboard, she's self-assured. Oh no, I know a dirty word. Hello, 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 how low. Hello, 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 how low. With the lights out, less dangerous. Here we are now, entertain us. I feel stupid. Contagious, here we are now. Entertain us. I'm a lotto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido. Yeah. I'm worse at what I do best, and for this gift I do feel blessed. And our little group has always been and always will until the end. Hello, 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 how low. Here we are now, entertain us. I feel stupid, contagious. Here we are now, entertain us. I'm a lotto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido.
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio live. What do we get for it? Seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. Gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. You're 40 and there's some kid half your age who will take your job and do it for half the money. And then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense.
Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening. Today I'm talking about Upstate Art Weekend, which takes place this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's the second year of this exceptional program, which was founded by Helen Toomer of Stone Leaf Retreat, which is an artist residency space here in the Catskills. In this year's incarnation, 61 venues throughout the Hudson Valley on both sides of the Hudson River, from Chatham all the way to Garrison, are participating. So you'll be able to check out museum and gallery exhibitions, talks and special events, and many outdoor arts-related activities. Well-known cultural institutions are taking part. Art Omi, Olana, Thomas Cole National Historic Site, Hessel Museum of Art at Bard, Opus 40, Dia Beacon, and Storm King Arts Center, as well as some newcomers. I'm going to highlight a few of my own recommendations, and I'm going to start right here in the Northern Catskills and work my way south. So to begin, just open in the village of Catskill, right on Water Street, is the eagerly awaited Foreland. This newly renovated complex spans over 85,000 square feet and houses multiple gallery spaces and artist studios. But there's a great story to the architecture. Erected in the mid-1800s, the Foreland buildings were first mills that produced uniforms for Union soldiers during the Civil War. And then after sitting dormant for decades, the three historic buildings that comprise the heart of Foreland have been reimagined as a new heartland for the contemporary art world by its fearless leader and true visionary, Steph Helmus, who spent 4 years painstakingly renovating and restoring the buildings. This weekend is the perfect moment to take a look at this extraordinary project and to go through all of the spaces. On view is their collaboration with NADA. So NADA stands for the New Art Dealers Alliance, and NADA is an international group of members, which is made up of galleries as well as individuals like professional independent curators. And their mission is to bring contemporary art to the general public. So at Foreland, NADA will showcase over 80 different galleries, nonprofits, and artist-run spaces who collectively will be presenting over 100 artists, with a focus on those working in the region of upstate New York. So, going from the massive of Foreland, we're heading to the mini. So, new in Uptown Kingston is a gem of a pop-up gallery called Airfield. It's a tiny little spot with some heavy-hitting artists, and it opened earlier this summer. Its current two-person show features the work Now, across the river in Rhinebeck is T-Space, which is a multidisciplinary nonprofit arts organization focused on the arts, education, design, and ecology. Founded by world-renowned architect Stephen Hall, that's H-O-L-L,
T-Space is a place where visitors can view outdoor sculptural installations throughout the 30-acre reserve. When you're there, you can see experimental architecture. They have public programs like poetry readings, talks, and musical performances. But the real attraction is its treehouse-like contemporary gallery designed by Stephen Hall. And currently on view is a stunning show by the artist and architect Anthony Titus, who's created these monochromatic compositions that live somewhere between painting and sculpture. And the way that these works look in this particular space, just the way that the architecture is organized and the integration of natural light, it's very beautiful. And for Upstate Art Weekend, it's the first time that T-Space will be opening its doors of its architectural archive and research library. I've seen it, and it's a real treasure trove of thousands of books and Stephen Hall's own architectural models. It's a real treat to see. If you go back into my Hudson Valley Word of Mouth audio archive, you can find my interview with the curator and director, Susan Whitey's. Another favorite place of mine is the museum on the campus of Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, which I've been visiting for the past 25 years. You know when you discover a piece of art in a museum that's part of their collection and you can visit it over and over and over again like you would an old friend? Well, for me, there's a gorgeous little still life painting of two figs by Georgia O'Keeffe that I have visited and revisited many times. And in full disclosure, I'll be visiting Vassar and its museum more this fall when my very smart niece Lily enters her junior year. Did you know that Vassar was the first college or university in the entire country to include an art museum as part of its original plan? The center was then named in honor of the building's primary donor, the famous philanthropist Francis Lehman Loeb, who was a member of the class of 1928. And the Loeb Art Center has a staggering collection of over 22,000 works. There are a few shows currently on view, but I can't wait to see the one of Robert Rauschenberg's large-scale screen prints from 1970. It's a real time capsule, as he took newspaper clippings, headlines from the day, advertisements, and then superimpose them into these collage-like images. And then featured alongside his work is Kurt Schwitters, Lee Freelander, Walker Evans, Ray Johnson, James Rosenquist, and Andy Warhol. But at Vassar, and one of the reasons why I go back so often, in addition to my favorite Georgia O'Keeffe painting, is that I'm always enamored by its photography presentations, which take a deep and often heady dive into examining the medium itself, like its most recent show called Photocurrents, Media, Circulation, Spectacle. Ever since its invention almost two centuries ago, photography has turned newsworthy events into consumable spectacles. And for anyone interested in the radical transformation of popular media with the rise of the internet, citizen journalism, and social media, this is definitely a show for you. So next stop, heading out of Poughkeepsie, going to Newburgh. So there's two places in Newburgh I'd like to recommend. The first is the Elijah Wheat Showroom, an artist-run gallery space located in a giant industrial building right on the Hudson River, directly across from Beacon, and founded by Carolina Wheat and Liz Nielsen. And Elijah Wheat Showroom is named after their late son, Elijah. You may remember Liz from my recent interview with her when she was exhibiting her super colorful abstract photograms at Art Austerlitz, which is also part of Upstate Art Weekend. Little sidebar, Art Austerlitz is based in Columbia County, and it's actually an old church built in 1853 and part of the Austerlitz Historical Society. Anyway, back in Newburgh, Liz and her partner Carolina continued to outdo themselves with edgy and progressive shows. Opening this weekend on the ground floor in this kind of Kunsthalle space is a presentation of ceramic sculptures by Ashley Lyon, who's an artist who lives and works in Newburgh. And then just a few floors up is a show of intimate photorealistic graphic drawing by Frances Waite. Now, in Newburgh, a few blocks away from Elijah Wheat's showroom, is the latest presentation by Strong Room. Founded by Kelly Schreyer, who's also been a guest of the show, Strong Room is a nonprofit arts organization producing site-specific contemporary art installations and public programs throughout the city. Right now, you can experience a magical secret urban garden and plant concert conceived by the artist Martin Roth. He tragically died very young, just as he was to begin the project's installation inside one of the city's most historic buildings. The site is a now abandoned structure that was originally built as a private home in 1852 by one of America's most influential landscape designers and horticulture writers, Andrew Jackson Downing, together with architect and landscape designer Calvert Vaux. The house was later converted into the Newburgh City Club. It suffered a terrible fire and was swallowed up by nature, with a jungle of trees growing inside and vines of ivy crawling up the exterior walls. Even though it remains without a roof, this massive brick structure is significant, as it's one of the last standing buildings by Andrew Jackson Downing. So what Martin Roth envisioned and started, and what Kelly Schreier has completed, is a botanical wonderland amid this architectural ruin. So what Kelly's done, along with the help of others, is to complete the plan that she got from Martin to plant certain plants, flowers, and trees alongside the mature trees that are already growing out of this roofless structure. Among the piles of brick and trees and plants is the sound installation. So it's a concert made by the trees, and this is how it works. So according to Martin Roth's specification, these sensors were attached to the trees at the root and then up into the leaves. And these sensors transform electrical frequencies into musical notes, which are broadcast through speakers. So this ambient sound creates a plant concert, and it's one of the most meditative and sublime art experiences I've ever had. And the juxtaposition between the city, this historic building, and then entering the secret garden is incredible. And the historical relevance of this building, and both Andrew Jackson Downing's and Martin Roth's shared intention for architecture and nature to live in harmony, can really be experienced. I love this work. So within all of the amazing participating venues of Upstate Art Weekend, I recommend them all, but I just wanted to share with you some of my personal highlights, and I look forward to seeing you there.
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends, or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.